One of those songs that we sang had the words in it, "You called out my name," and I'm trying to think how the wording goes. Up from the grave, or out of the grave, what was it? I ran out of the grave. What's the great miracle of that? Those words. How about he called out your name? You ever think how important it is that somebody knows you? And you know that if you think of the importance of somebody, and then if they actually know your name, there's something that is, I don't know, it's just comforting. It tells you that they're even though they might be important, that they still think of others. You know what I mean? For instance, maybe you work in a place where there's a lot of employees. At the ISD, where we drive bus, I think there's 800, 900 employees or so. The head boss doesn't know everybody's name. He does very well, though. He knows my name. I think it's you notice on the bus, you always learn the troublemakers' names first. Have you ever noticed that? I don't know why he knows my name. He knows my name. But, if he says your name, it makes you feel as though that you have meaning somewhere. Donald Trump doesn't know my name. If I saw him on the street, he wouldn't give me two looks. But somebody more important than him does. And that's Jesus Christ. She really shouldn't compare those two together, should I? Jesus Christ knows your name. You know, I'm coming to a part of the Romans here where some will just say, well, Paul really finished in chapter 15. And as he comes to Romans 16, he's just listing those that he's thankful for. He's mentioning various names. And you really could almost skip over this chapter because it's just, names. I think there's a lot more behind this than that, because God included those names in here. Why? So you could laugh at me when I read them. Okay, turn to Romans chapter 16. I'm going to read these names. Oh, I wanted to skip over these names. I have those of you that have the UVerse app, you know it will read to you. It's read this chapter to me at least 7 times this week. And I still don't know these names. So I'd say if you don't like the way I pronounce it, blame the UVerse app. But the problem is I don't remember how they pronounced it. I'm just going to murder them anyway. So my theory on names is God named the first two individuals, Adam and Eve. Sin entered the world, and look at what happened. Okay, so I'm not responsible for that. Okay, starting at verse 1. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church at Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper to many, and of myself also. This more than likely was, Phoebe was the one he was sending the letter to the Romans. He was in Corinth. And he's sending this book, the book of Romans, to those in Rome, and very possibly sent it with this lady, Phoebe. And he's saying, now when she comes, you take note, you take care of her. Then he says in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Here's a Christian couple, and we don't know how. I'd love to know the story. But somehow risked their life for Paul. What a commendation to them. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, whatever, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary. That one I didn't have trouble with. I caught that one really quick. Mary, who labored much for us. There's several women mentioned here. It's interesting to me that all four of them that are mentioned here, four of them, he says that they labored hard. They worked hard. You would think that would go with the men. But no, it was the women that were the hard workers. And if you think in the church, that's probably true, right? Greet Acrodonus, Adonicus, yeah, and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles and who were in Christ before me. If you think of the realm of who he's talking about, he's talking about people of importance. He's talking about people that are servants in the church. He's talking about prisoners, fellow prisoners with him. He goes on, greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus and our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved of Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus, or something like that. That's the best name in here, I think. Aristobulus. I wish I wouldn't have made Matthew that. Greet Herodon, my countrymen. Now, greet those who are of the household of Narcissus. He was sort of full of himself, but anyway. Who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphenia and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Parasus, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet we'll call him Andy. Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philocus and Julia, Neros and his sister, and Olympias, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. The things you applaud. A bunch of names. Why would God include what I consider just an ending comment of Paul, I'm thankful for him, her, him, her? Why would he do that? Why would he take our time up on a Sunday morning to remind us of individuals like this? Well, I think the reason is that we can learn a lot about God just from the fact that he included them in his holy word. What does it tell us about God that he would include a listing of names? Well, I call this hodgepodge because it's just a hodgepodge of names, but it's a hodgepodge also of ideas that we can learn, or truths that we can learn about our God. And the very first one is, God loves people. He is a people person. Now, I consider myself a people person. I like being with people. I don't like doing things alone. You know, people will go out golfing. I enjoy golfing, or at least I used to enjoy golfing. But I have never golfed alone in my life. I can't think of anything worse than golfing alone. The only reason I probably enjoyed golfing to begin with was because I could be with others when I golf. But when God lists names and he takes time out to make their names eternal, literally eternal, this book will not pass away. So these names are here forever. Why did God do that? Because it's all about people to God. He loves people. God loves people. He knows your name. That is significant. He knows you. He knows you individually. I'm impressed that Paul listed all these people's names. Most of them live in Rome. Paul had never been to Rome. How did Paul know their names? I think Paul was a people person as well. Paul valued individuals, and Paul learned about the churches, even the ones he had never been to. And he held them up in honor as he closed his letter to remember their name. Can you imagine getting that in the church? And you're sitting there and they're saying, hey, we got a letter from the Apostle Paul. And we're going to read it to you. And as they're reading it, all of a sudden he mentions your name. They had to have some significance in their name. They had to realize that Paul cared about them, but even more so that God cares about them. I found this video last week, and it's a song, and I've trimmed it down a little bit because I only wanted you to get a portion of it to make my point. But whether you like the song or not, I don't really care. Listen to the words. They're going to be up on the screen. Did you listen to those words? He knows your name. He knows your every thought. So when you're down, he knows that. When you're rejoicing, he knows that. When you're anxious and worried, he knows. Only God could do that with all of us, but he does, as though we're the only thing that's important to him. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. God loves people. You cannot read the Bible and not come to the conclusion that he created us in his image and loved us. For God so loved the world. That means you and me. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him would not perish but would spend eternity with the God who loves them. What a miracle that our God loves us despite all the things that we do wrong or right. He loves us. He is a personable God. How many of you have read the Left Behind series? Okay, some of you that are younger, you got to read them one right after another. When they first came out, you'd read one and then you'd have to wait for the next one to come out. And then you would wait for the next one to come out. And that's kind of I kind of started in the middle. I could read the first ones right away, and then I had to wait. But I remember waiting for that last one. And it's really working up to the day that Christ comes back to this earth. That's the idea behind it. And he's going to appear on the Mount of Olives. He's gathered those that have survived the tribulation period back together. Finally, the victory's there, all the struggles and all the things that they've gone through, and now they've assembled together, and the Lord is about to speak. And in the book, you're thinking, how is he going to make this glorious? It's got to be a glorious thing, but how is he going to describe it? And I'm picturing, what will Jesus say to the group? And it didn't dawn on me until I read the book. He didn't have to speak to the group. They're all standing there. If you haven't read the book, this is a spoiler alert. You're going to hear it anyway. When he begins to speak, each person hears as though God is speaking directly to them, talking right specifically to them, telling them, Dustin, and then talks to them. And each one's hearing their own name. Each one's hearing it as though God is speaking directly to them. And I'm thinking, wow, our God's great enough to do even that. Never even thought about it. But that's the personal God that we have. That's how much that God loves us. Now, I don't know that that's really going to happen. That's just in the book, the Left Behind book, not the book. But I can see God doing that. I don't think you're just going to be one of many in heaven. You're going to be God's child in heaven. And he's going to treat you just like he knows your name. Now, my children know that when I call them, I might list four others before I get to their name. I think Jesus might be a little better at that than even I am. He will know our name. So that's the first thing we reason. When God lists this, he considers people important enough to put in his eternal book. That's telling us that he loves us. Another thing it tells us about God is that he delights in faithful service. These aren't just anybody that are mentioned here. These are those that have faithfully served the Lord. He mentions people like Phoebe, who took probably more than likely took this letter to Rome, but he describes her as a helper of Paul. one who is a servant of the church there in Centuria or whatever it was. A lady that stood out as a servant of God. God says, I delight in that so much so I'm going to list your name in my holy scriptures. Priscilla and Aquila, I've already mentioned, they risked their own necks for the Apostle Paul. Somehow we're willing to even die in serving God, and God honors that and names them. Rufus, Paul says, she was chosen in the Lord and, Rufus, he was chosen in the Lord and his mother and mine. Now, I don't think that Paul had the same mother as Rufus. But what I think he's saying is that Rufus was chosen in the Lord and had a mom that basically adopted the Apostle Paul. And even though we don't know her name specifically, there she is, as one that loved God, loved others, helped the Apostle Paul. Say, why did you choose Phoebe? Why did you choose Priscilla and Aquila and Rufus? Why didn't you name the other ones? Because I could pronounce their names better. Just so you know. I had a neighbor that would mow the lawn for another neighbor that didn't have a mower and wasn't able to do that. And he did that for a whole year. And then the following year, he didn't do it anymore. I kind of wondered, but I didn't ask or anything. But one time I was talking to the neighbor, and it comes out, he says, you know, all the time I did that, not once was I ever thanked. I didn't do it to get thanked, but it was though it was just not appreciated at all, and it wasn't something I was going to continue if it wasn't needed or it wasn't appreciated or they didn't want me to do it. So I'm not doing it that year. And he didn't do it that year. Never ever think God doesn't appreciate your service. He appreciates it so much that he listed some of those in here. And do you know that you say, well, my name's not in there? Well, mine's not either. Goofus, but not Rufus. My name's not in there, but one day, the Bible says, I'm going to stand before the Bema seat of Christ. Now, that's translated a lot of times judgment seat of Christ, which I don't really like that term, because the word Bema was where the Olympians would come to receive their reward. We're going to all stand as believers in Christ before the reward seat of Christ. And he's not going to judge us, because the Bible talks about our works going to be put on a test of fire. And you know what's the fire's going to destroy? All the works that were done for yourself, all the works that were done, all the negative things that you probably should have been judged for, but Christ died for those, and those are just going to be burned up. But what will be left is your faithful service to Christ. Everything you've done for Christ, God will notice, God will publicly acknowledge in heaven. This is a God who delights in faithful service. And that's what this is a reminder of. Just because these people are mentioned doesn't mean that he's not going to publicly notice you as well. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that loves us and cares for us. Another thing that we see in this passage is that God's family is so diverse. I love it. He doesn't just pick out those that have important jobs and are people of the government. There are some named there. He picks out servants, he picks out prisoners, he picks out men, he picks out women, he picks out singles, he picks out couples, he picks out those with families. He makes a broad swipe as he acknowledges those that he is so thankful for. That's the God that we serve. It also tells us that God's family loves. Paul says, I think it's 21 times, let me make sure here, 21 times he says, greet. Make sure you give a special acknowledgement to this person. 21 times he says, greet them. Do you know what Paul means by the word greet? Let them know how much I care. Let them know how much I appreciate what they're doing. That's the family that God has placed us in. a family that loves one another. I hope you truly did miss not being here last Sunday. I hope you didn't get that text or that computer call or whatever. If you didn't get one, by the way, you need to be on our flock note so you do. See Ruth, she'd be glad to put you on there. When you got that, I hope you didn't sit home and say, "Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to get dressed today or I have to do." I hope you just missed it. I was talking to somebody this morning and they said, "Well, I had to miss 2 weeks ago. And then, of course, last week with the snow, and I just feel like I've been going." And by the way, this person had an excuse to not be here today. He had something happen in his family and would have definitely had a good reason for not being here. But he said, I just miss my church family. That's what this list tells us. It tells us that here's individuals that Paul didn't even really know personally, but they were on his heart. Make sure you greet this person. Let them know that I care. Let them know that they're a part of this relationship. It's interesting to me. He says that we're to greet with a holy kiss. Yeah, right at the end of in verse 16 there. He's expressing the idea that we're to take probably a symbol that the world was doing, and he's saying you need to sanctify it a little bit, make it a holy kiss. But you need to acknowledge your love one for another in doing that. Now, how many kind of wonder, how does that translate today? Do you wonder that? Okay, if you don't, I won't talk about it. Let's go on. I wondered about it, and since I wondered about it, you're going to hear it anyway. Okay? And I don't know, this is opinion here, so you take it for what it's worth. Do you think that Paul was saying in our culture, it must be the same as in their culture, and therefore every believer in every church should greet one another with a holy kiss? Now, holy means it probably should be within the same sex. So males with males, female with female, just to keep it holy. And I'll just tell you guys, you're not getting a kiss from me. But I want to tell you how you can do this socially. So Ruth, you want to come up? I'll demonstrate this with. Oh no, that was a joke. Later we'll do this. I'll show you what that meant. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. Whatever your culture is, and I think the idea here is that what is your culture in showing that you care about somebody? I don't think in our culture that we don't kiss on each side of the cheek and things like that here in America. But we have ways of doing that, don't we? Have guys hugged before? Of course they do. Is that out of the ordinary? Yes, it is. I don't hug every guy. But the ones I care about, I will. Or, hey, what are you thinking? I've heard. I didn't even realize it happened, but I've heard that you said there was an awkward moment between you and me. Is that true? Yeah. Jorge was, he was telling somebody else that he'd come up to hug me, and I reached out my hand. But I like Jorge. I'd hug you, Jorge. Okay. That wasn't on purpose. On the way out, we'll hug. But whatever your culture is, whatever that thing is, you know, it might be a holy fist bump. I don't fist, you know, the kids on my bus, I don't hug. Sometimes they grab me, but I don't hug the kids on my bus, but I give a lot of them fist bumps. And it's my way of saying I care about you. And it's just a fist bump, but it's a holy one. And they know when I'm doing that. You know, they might get a good grade on their report card and I get to see them because they attach them to the bus slips that we get, and I look at them, and if they got good grades, I'll go up to them, and I say, great job on that, you know. And what am I telling them? I'm happy for you. I'm glad you did that. I don't know what your culture is in your little environments, but there's ways to express that you love one another and you care about one another, and they're appropriate ways, and you need to do those. That very word he puts, holy, means keep it appropriate, okay? But those appropriate ways need to be expressed within the church family. Paul says, do that. God says he created us for that purpose. We're to be making that a part of our everyday lives. You know, I hear something like, it makes me want to just sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Now, I just threw that in for a personal family dig, okay? Because there's some in our family that said only country churches sing that, and we sing that. But you know, the words are very meaningful, aren't they? I am glad I'm a part of this family of God, and I hope you are too. God made us that way. We also see here that women play a significant part in the church. As I mentioned, four of them, he says, are hard laboring women. He doesn't say that of any of the men in this passage. The women are the hard laborers. Do you notice that in the church too? Don't ever think we take that for granted, ladies. We know that God has uniquely equipped you, and without you, this church would not be here. I know that's the case. I know that's the truth. I'm trying something new to remind me to stop. When we look at the history of this church, there was a time when this church was going to close. And I believe it was three ladies that said, we're not going to just accept that. We're going to gather together on Sunday in that building by themselves and pray. And so they started to do that. Three ladies. And they prayed. And eventually they started a Sunday school again. And then it grew. And eventually, guess what? God started the church back again. That's because of women who labored for the Lord. Again, we don't take that for granted. But also in this list, we see that there are singles that are listed. When it went into that long list of Hermes and all those, there's four individuals there. Those were all single guys. Why did Paul himself was single? Why did he point these individuals out? It doesn't mean that they're insignificant. You know, he said they contributed quite a bit to the church there at Rome, and he singles them out. He wants them to know that they're important. They're a part of that body. They're a part of that church that he has designed. And, of course, he makes couples list in this group as well, who were courageous, even to the point of being willing to die, if that was the case. There's a lot of things you can branch off. You know, if you are single and you're thinking of getting married, this should be an example that as a couple, if you're not serving the Lord, you better not enter into that relationship, which means that you need to marry somebody who is also godly, somebody who has the same desire to serve God, so that God can use you for that. So this isn't just an accidental listing that Paul concludes sincerely, and whether you mean it or not, he just tacks it on the end of his book. He is telling us something about the God that we serve, a God who loves us, a God who knows our name, a God who will reward those who faithfully serve him, just like he eternally put their names in this book. It tells us that God has created us in a diverse family and yet made us one in him. It tells us that God loves or wants us to love one another. It tells us that whether you're a woman, whether you're single, whether you're a couple, God holds you in high regard in his service for the Lord. What a great God we serve. What a God who understands what is truly valuable, which makes us wonder, do we understand, do we have that same significance when it comes to value that God does? There was an individual who was walking by an antique store, and he noticed a cat in the front window eating food out of an antique dish, very valuable antique dish. And being a collector himself, he went into the store and he goes up to the store owner and he says, you know, I'd like to buy your cat. I'll give you $2 for your cat. And the store owner said, no, my cat's not for sale. I'm sorry, I can't sell my cat. And the guy said, I'll give you $20 for your cat. I got this mouse problem at my house. And he looks like a good mouser. And please, can I buy your cat? And the guy says, okay, I'll sell you my cat. So they exchanged the $20, and And he grabs the cat, and as he's walking out, he turns to the store owner. He says, "Oh, since I paid $20, do you mind? I don't have a bowl for my cat. Do you mind if I just take that?" And he's used to it. And can I have the bowl that you've been feeding, that old bowl? Can I have that as well? And the man said, "No, that's a valuable bowl." And the guy said, "Why do you say that?" He says, "Because of that bowl, I've sold 60 cats this week." God knows what's valuable. And the person sitting next to you is one of those things, and the person in your seat is one of those things. The question again is, do you know that it's valuable? Do you know how much God values you? If you do, then this is a day that we just need to thank Him and praise Him. I'm going to close in prayer. You just take a minute. Thank God that He knows your name. And thank Him for the fact that He loves you. And then I'll close in together as well. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for the reminder from a simple list of names that You love us, that You care for us, that we are Your children and You value us. We don't deserve it. But You, in Your love and Your grace and Your mercy, love us far more than we deserve. We thank You for that. We just ask that You would just help us to truly worship You for who You are and that undeserved love that You give to us. For we pray it in Jesus' name.